Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is time for the Daily Dive for March 1st, 2024. And we start off with a subject that talked about already this week, and that's the death of Thomas Kingston. Now, I was on a royal mess today, and I came up with the most outlandish, crazy theory in the entire world that has no, you know, just no substance to it and anything like that. It just, when you think about the coincidence of Thomas Kingston, and we now know killing himself, and I'll talk about that in a minute. And you have Prince William ditching last minute Constantine's memorial service. Then, today, I've looked at the photos. I shared them with the royal mess, and you know, people on there debated whether or not the bruises were real, whether it's a shadow. But it does look on the left side of Prince William's neck, some photos taken when he visited the synagogue, that you can see a bruise on his neck. Is it a shadow? I don't know. But then also under his left eye, and it's a side profile, so it's a little bit hard to see, it also appears to be bruised. So does this all kind of go together? Was there some kind of fight? It doesn't feel like it because there was only 30 minutes or so that Kingston supposedly was away from his family. But perhaps William and Kingston got into some kind of disagreement at some point. And because of bruising or whatever, William was unable to make the reading at the memorial service. I don't know. It's something to think about. Something to speculate about. Something to try and piece together some things. But Thomas Kingston, the husband of Lady Gabriella Windsor, was found dead at his parents' home. A catastrophic head injury and a gun close to his body. And the coroner said basically, she said that a postmortem had been undertaken and that a provisional cause of death had been given as traumatic wound to head. And he had just had lunch with his parents before his body was found in an outbuilding. The coroner said Mr. Kingston was visiting his parents' home in the Cotswolds on 25 February. He ate lunch with his parents. His father went out to walk the dogs. On his return, Mr. Kingston was not in the house. After approximately 30 minutes, his mother went to look for him. His father forced entry into an outbuilding when he couldn't gain entry. Mr. Kingston was found inside with a catastrophic head injury. A gun was present at the scene. Police are satisfied the death is not suspicious. The hearing lasted less than minutes. Several journalists and a Buckingham Palace representative were present, but no family members. Now, Kingston did once work as a hostage negotiator in Iraq. He joined the diplomatic missions, and he went to Baghdad as a project manager for the International Center for Reconciliation, based at Coventry Cathedral in 2003. The following year, he cheated death in a suicide bombing that killed 22 people. And the Reverend Canon Andrew White, then the vicar of St. George's Church, the only Anglican church in Iraq, worked closely with him. He said that Kingston was fearless, very committed Christian. I loved him so much. The thing about Tom was he was never scared. Whatever I asked him to do, he would do it with a big smile on his face in the middle of a war zone. But he came back, started doing global asset management and things like that. Comes from a very well-known, well-established family. Maybe the traumas that he witnessed in Baghdad might have long-term effects. The vicar said, hey, we survived several suicide bomb attacks. We were regularly caught up in IED attacks. Cars would blow up in front of us and we would just move on. We were always together and had 35 armed guards at all times. They were at the Anglican church when it was targeted in a suicide bomb attack. They entered the building just before the blast, which killed two of the congregation and 20 others. Now, the father-in-law of Thomas Kingston is Prince Michael. And we're going to go back in time a little bit. And I have talked a little bit about this in the Heaven and Hell, Hellfire, Wayfarer thing. Back in July of 2020, this particular little bit. But I just thought I would bring it back. But in 2002, both Prince and Princess Michael of Kent were the subject of criticism over the rent paid on their accommodation at Kensington Palace, following scrutiny by the House of Commons Public Accounts Committee on the cost of royal palaces and whether they were value for money. The committee had called on the Queen to evict its residents and put the apartments on a more commercial footing. When it was claimed that the couple paid a rent of only £69 per week for the use of their apartments at Kensington Palace, Buckingham Palace announced that the Queen is paying the rent for Prince and Princess Michael of Kent's apartment at a commercial rate of £120,000 annually from her own private funds. This rent payment by the Queen is in recognition of the royal engagements and work for various charities which Prince and Princess Michael of Kent have undertaken at their own expense and without any public funding. Basically, Prince and Princess Michael are broke. They are royals for hire. And that is something that has led to Prince Michael being ostracized a little bit. He was given money by an exiled Russian oligarch, Boris Berezovsky. He got about $500,000 from 2002 to 2008. But Boris said, "There's nothing underhand or improper about the financial assistance I have given Prince Michael. It is a matter between friends." Yes, give me $500,000. But in 2012, Boris lost a London High Court case he brought over the ownership of the major oil producer Sibneft. Roman Abramovich. Brought the thing, and the court concluded that Boris had never been a co-owner of the oil producer, and he was found dead at his home on March 23rd, 2013, and the post-mortem examination found that his death was consistent with hanging, and there were no signs of violent struggle. However, the coroner at the inquest later recorded an open verdict. Okay. So we have another mysterious death tied to Prince Michael. Now let's talk about Prince Michael's son, Freddie Windsor. This is an interesting guy. Lord Frederick Windsor, much like Prince Harry, admitted to taking cocaine a lot. He was photographed on the floor of a London club at the age of 22. Back in 1999, he was spotted snorting cocaine. He said it was because of peer pressure and that he regretted it. And after the incident, Lord Freddie and his younger sister, Lady Gabriella, the one who's married to Thomas Kingston, were taken by their mother to a drug rehab center as teenagers so they could see the problems caused by addiction. Now, it's not the same one that now King Charles sent Harry to, but it was reported at the time that both children were sick after leaving, having been left shocked by the aged state of a 17-year-old addict they met. Now, the other thing about Lord Freddie, which is really interesting, is prior to him getting married to Sophie Winkleman, who you guys probably know best from Two and a Half Men, unless you live in England and then you know her for other shows. But, you know, before he got married to her in 2009, he had some things happen to him. And he basically, everybody thought that he was gay. He was openly living as a gay man. And he was a board member of the gay social club Sweet Sweet in Soho. And when he got married in 2009 to Sophie Winkleman, no one wanted to go. And to show you that Prince Michael and Princess Michael had no money, Sophie's parents had to pay for the wedding. And here's something that was said about it at the time. "With costs now soaring into the red, everyone involved is scrambling to get them back down, with the groom's godmother, billionaire's widow Lady Annabel Goldsmith, offering a free wedding supper to the younger guests in lieu of a present to the couple. Despite such gestures of upper-class solidarity, the supposed royal wedding is turning out to be nothing of the kind. The Queen's granddaughter, Princess Eugenie, who's sixth in line to the throne," and this is 2009, "is the most senior royal going, along with the Queen's cousins, the Duke of Kent and Princess Alexandra, who are Lord Freddie's uncle and aunt. The rest of the royal family seem to have prior commitments. The Queen herself, who is first cousin to Freddie's father, will be presenting the new Elizabeth Cross to families of six members of the Queen's Royal Lancers. Prince Philip's going to be otherwise engaged. Unusually, the Prince of Wales and the Duchess of Cornwall have an official engagement on a Saturday. And Princes William and Harry have also pleaded prior commitments. four were invited, but none of them is able to attend. They have, however, got together to buy the couple a joint present. Meanwhile, Prince Andrew is spending the weekend privately. Fergie isn't going either. Prince Edward and his wife Sophie, Princess Anne, and Peter and Zara Phillips have all politely declined. And the reason was because of Prince Michael's reputation as a royal for hire to anyone who will pay his fees. And his wife had a bunch of outspoken comments. And then also Freddie, who 2 years earlier had caused a horrible to-do at a heaven and hell party, which was based on the Eyes Wide Shut theme. There was a large middle-aged man, clearly no stranger to drink, staggers out of a society party shouting, "That bastard put his hands on my wife." But he's persuaded to go back inside by his host, Crown Prince Pavlos of Greece, who was celebrating his 40th birthday at the time. Prince Pavlos of Greece, by the way, is the one who stepped in for William at the reading. Shortly afterwards, Lord Freddie Windsor emerges through the front door, sporting a dazed expression and a cut on his nose, but minus the devil's horns he was wearing when he arrived. The timing of his departure led inevitable speculation that the accident-prone son of Prince and Princess Michael of Kent had become involved in another scrape. Party guests spoke of a fight on the stairs, after which members of various European royal families tried to calm things down. But a spokesperson for Lord Freddie denied that he had taken part in any fisticuffs. Well, how did he cut his nose? Maybe because of enthusiastic dancing. Now, what's really interesting is in 2007, when this was written, Lord Freddie was 31st in line to the throne. But he had come to the party with his sister, Lady Gabriella, who was wearing angel's wings, and their parents. Prince Michael's features were concealed behind a bird mask, while his wife chose an extravagant feathered headdress. Also, there was Prince Andrew. Viscount Linley, who was wearing black leather, came on his motorbike. Prince Felipe and Princess Christina of Spain, Prince Haakon of Norway, and Naomi Campbell. Interesting. And it was after midnight when everybody's like, oh my gosh, it's fighting. And then Prince Pavlos and were running around everywhere. And Prince Pavlos was in the fight. But he said, all we could hear him saying was, "That bastard had his hands on my wife. Nobody puts their hands on my wife." He seemed very, very drunk. It's obviously Lord Freddie. And Prince Andrew was the last person to leave the party. He departed after 4 a.m. following a pole dancing performance by two strippers supplied by Penthouse magazine. And Pavlos was married to Marie Chantel Miller, and I talked a lot about that. But go back and just listen to the episodes. They're really good. But like I said, Pavlos took William's place at the reading for St. George's Chapel. And William was supposed to read from Revelation. But Pavlos stood up, said, "God, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." So were they bruises on William's body? Is it related to Thomas Kingston? Is it related to anything? Maybe, maybe not. Now, Sophie Winkleman gave an interview just 3 months ago, and she said she hardly knew anyone at her wedding to Lord Freddie. She said her mother-in-law, Princess Michael of Kent, took charge of everything, including her dress. She said, "I didn't know anyone at my wedding. I had my best pals there, but basically it was full of faces I'd never seen before. My mother-in-law, Princess Michael of Kent, took full personal charge of it all and did brilliantly, including what dress I was wearing." And Sophie is the half-sister of Claudia Winkleman. And she said, "You know, my hair didn't work out. I cannot tell you how disgusting it looked. Coming up the aisle, the first thing I said when I saw Freddie was, 'I'm so sorry about the hair.' He said, 'Yes, what on earth have you done?' That's pretty much all I can remember about it, my hair and being such a moron. But as of December 2023, Freddie's now 53rd in line to the throne. And they live with their two daughters, who are 54th and 55th. And she, I think, is in Wonka, too. But she described the king as a very dear friend, and the rest of the family is really fun, clever, kind people. She was one of the first to defend them publicly in the wake of Harry and Meghan's Netflix documentary. So she should be team William and Kate. And when she broke several bones in her foot and back following a devastating car accident in 2017, the then Prince Charles instructed his cook to supply her family with meals twice a day for months. Was she doing all the cooking? Maybe. The late queen allowed her to use the pool at Buckingham Palace for physiotherapy. That's the reason I got better, she said. It was so typically thoughtful. But she said, I love Kate and William, but they're so busy and don't live in London, so I don't see them much. So Sophie's parents only had a budget of like $50,000. They couldn't go over that. And so they had to start cutting back. So the Kents, you know, they have some money, but Princess Michael's, you know, worked in an art store and stuff like that, which is why Prince Michael is a royal for hire. Now, certainly not royals are Brittany and Jax. Yes, we're back with Jax Taylor and Brittany Cartwright yet once again. Because despite the fact that we saw a child exchange at two separate residences, despite the fact that Brittany was on her podcast yesterday saying that she was living someplace else, Jax decided to tell Page Six, no, we're together. We're living in our home right now. And he said that as of last night. And then, okay. And apparently he said, yeah, she was in a house for a while, but yeah, she's back now. But we just saw 2 days ago or 3 days ago them, you know, having the child exchange. And Page Six pointed out Taylor, who isn't wearing his wedding ring, adds that they're trying to figure out their next steps and that their split is all fresh and new. It's not evil or nastiness. It's just two people that, you know, are hitting a 10-year mark in their marriage. We're just spending some time apart, just trying to reassess, you know, our situation. We have a child involved and we just want to do what's best for our kid. Okay, so that's what he says. But then Brittany says, no, I have moved out. And she moved into a brand new rental. Her last one was like an Airbnb. And she moved out about a month ago. Now that's interesting, now that we got that timeline. Because remember, I talked about yesterday, she gave this interview to Daily Mail right a couple of days before Valentine's Day and talked about how he needs to plan Valentine's Day and all this, but she's already out of the house. So that's interesting. But Brittany's quote-unquote friend said they're not on a path of reconciliation. They're taking time apart. And that somehow Jax thought that when Brittany had to come home to pack up her stuff, that meant that she was living there again. Okay. But Brittany later today on her Instagram said, if a woman holds the power to create life, she also holds the power to create the life she wants. Now, what was interesting is as she was moving all of this stuff out of the house and there's paparazzi there, she was wearing her wedding ring. So we'll see how it goes. And we're also going to see how the whole Noah Cyrus and Dominic Purcell thing plays out, because we got a little bit more information. Yesterday, sources from Tisha's side said that Noah was just making the whole thing up and just fantasized about having a relationship with Dominic Purcell. But apparently they haven't spoken since the whole thing happened with Dominic. And Noah, you know, had been seeing Dominic when Tish decided, hey, I'm going to start pursuing him. According to new information, Noah and Dominic Purcell were involved for about 8 to 9 months, but were having issues. Well, according to what I said, I think in the Zoom party, where I had said that I found the tip about Noah and Demi Lovato dating in late 2021, that would line up with the whole throuple thing. Because Tish and Dominic had been together since the early part of 2022. So that would have been kind of a throuple time. Now, somebody's probably not going to have a throuple as Katie Holmes. But Scientology decided to slam her today in a backwards kind of way through the tabloid. I think it was an In Touch. And it said, frantic Katie Holmes is racing to reinvent herself as her kid with ex-Tom Cruise turns 18 next month, meaning an end to the hefty $400,000 she gets every year in child support. Well, first of all, she got a lot more than the $400,000, right? So, yes, I'm sure that the $400,000 is very nice, but she had a ton of other money that she got, and her dad's been investing it. But for over a decade, the former Dawson's Creek cutie, 45, lived high on the hog, thanks to the plush payments from 61-year-old Tom, but that financial cushion's about to lose its stuffing, which is why sources say Katie's on the prowl for acting work. She's always wanted to act. She always acts. She doesn't get a lot of roles. For years, Katie's enjoyed a lavish lifestyle thanks to Tom's consistent support. But as their child nears adulthood, both mother and daughter are facing an uncertain future. It's a terrifying prospect going from an amazing standard of living to a question mark overnight. Dawson's Creek royalties don't hold a candle to what Mission Impossible generates. Okay, it's definitely from Church of Scientology. I don't know why they're taking shots at Katie Holmes. And also, I don't think that even in child support, that Tom was giving her only $400,000, but there was a huge lump sum payment too. Now, speaking of lump sums, Chyvette Valentine is suing Scottie Pippen. And basically, she filed a lawsuit on Wednesday in Cook County, so Chicago, naming Scottie Pippen, ex-wife Larsa Pippen, and brother Carl T. Pippen as responsible for her alleged suffering of sexual assault and harassment, detailing a history of harassment spanning over 30 years. In the lawsuit, she claims to have had an on-and-off relationship with Scottie from 1987 to 1993. The romance ended after she was raped by the Pippen brothers, leading to the birth of her late son, Devontae Pippen, who was murdered in 2011. After the relationship ended, Valentine claims that Scottie, leveraging his Chicago Bulls status, has stalked and harassed her, resulting in significant mental and emotional distress. Due to Scottie's stalking, she claims to have lost housing, employment, and career opportunities. When attempting to file a police report, Scottie leveraged his connections to cancel her request. He used his medical connections to falsify reports, portraying her as mentally ill. She wants $250 million in a jury trial. Stalking, harassment, emotional distress, death threats, defamation, child support for her late son. And she just said, you know, she wrote, over the past 30 years and counting, I have endured a series of tormenting acts perpetrated by Scottie Pippen, Carl T. Pippen, and Larsa Pippen with the Chicago Bulls organization, failing to address or rectify the situation. These acts include stalking, harassment, and rape, among others. Despite my repeated attempts to seek recourse through appropriate channels, the Chicago Bulls organization has negligently allowed these crimes to persist unchecked. And the Pippen family had inflicted profound emotional distress, physical harm, and irreparable damage to her well-being. She is accusing the Chicago Bulls of a blatant disregard for the law and basic human decency. Okay. Now, she did sue him once in 2019 over expenses incurred during their relationship. The blind items revealed from today. Number one's from February 23rd. The gulf between the foreign-born A-list director and the foreign-born singer-slash-actress is growing wider. He doesn't want her to work at all and be able to be with him on whatever set he's working 24/7. She isn't interested in that, and that's Taika Waititi and Rita Ora. Number two is from February 23rd. This A-list actor slash writer slash producer slash director halted capital expenditures at his company. Is it because there's no longer a need because of advances in technology? Or is it because of the rumors from a few months ago about him and he doesn't want to commit a bunch of money to something in case he needs it for something related to those rumors? And that's Tyler Perry. Number three is from February 23rd. So this A-list singer slash bad actor had to cancel his show because he's been sick for a month. But he managed to spread his germs to everyone at a talk show, including guests, crew, host, and audience. And that's Justin Timberlake and the Graham Norton Show. Number four is from February 23rd. 16 years ago, I wrote in this space that without a report from a doctor, there should be no way the permanent A-list singer should have her life controlled by others. Now, 16 years later, her attorney wants a copy of that report that does not exist. And that's Britney Spears and Matthew Rosengarten. Number five is from February 23rd. This actor slash singer is another victim of the former label owner and is clearly suffering the after effects of the damage. But what he's saying this week makes a lot of sense. And that's Orlando Brown and Chris Stokes. And that is it for this one, you guys. I will talk to you later.